Hello, this is Zach Coble. I'm the Commissioner on Disability Issues, Chairperson, and I call this meeting to order on August 21st at 3:31 p.m. Stephanie, are you able to take roll call?
Absolutely. So this will be roll call for the CODI 8/21/24 meeting. Sue Krager?
Here.
Derek Espadas?
Here.
Zach Coble?
Here.
Ray Jordan?
Here.
Lily Bogan?
Here.
Wesley Derbyshire?
Here.
Kate Elliott?
Here.
We have quorum.
Great. Thank you, Stephanie. The next item on the agenda is our regular call to the audience. If there are any members of the public joining us today that would like to speak to a specific issue within the disability community or, you know, how disabled people are affected in Tucson, please, you know, raise your virtual hand or, you know, the floor is yours. I don't particularly know if I see anyone offhand that I understand is a member of the public and not like a city staff person, but want to provide this opportunity if I miss someone. Okay. Not seeing anyone from the members of the public. We can move on to our third agenda item, which is consideration and possible adoption of the minutes from our July meeting. This would need a vote. Do members of the commission have comments, questions, proposed changes that they would want to entertain? Mr. Jordan? Or Commissioner Jordan?
Or just Ray. Congratulations on the minutes. Excellent. I think there was a very accurate and concise record of the meeting. So I will move, if you don't mind, that they be accepted.
Thank you for that motion, Ray. I really appreciate it. Would another member of the commission like 2 seconds?
I'll second that motion.
I believe that is Commissioner Derbyshire with the second. Stephanie, would you take roll call?
Yes. Sue Krager?
Aye.
Derek Spadas?
Aye.
Beth Coble?
Aye.
Ray Jordan?
Aye.
Billy Bogan?
Aye.
Wesley Derbyshire?
Aye.
Kate Elliott?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you, Stephanie, and thank you for everyone. So now we can go to our next agenda item, number 4, discussion of on the role of the ADA coordinator for the City of Tucson with staff members from the OEOP, or Office of Equal Opportunity Programs. I believe I see staff members on the call. Please feel free to open up your mics and introduce yourself, cameras if feasible. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, hi everyone. Good afternoon. I'm Rebecca Hill. You see Will Rivera also with us today, and we are just so delighted to provide you information about the Office of Equal Opportunity Programs, otherwise known as OEOP. It's a mouthful either way, but I hope that you got the materials that I put together, and I'm just going to briefly summarize those for you and then, try to answer any questions that you might have. So And just a summary of our office, we are part of the city manager's office, but we are basically responsible for enforcing, implementing and enforcing anti-discrimination programs and policies within the city. So we are really more on the compliance side. So we do a lot of investigations of complaints regarding discrimination as well as wrongful conduct violations. So we have a lot of different functions. So briefly, I will highlight those for you, and then, of course, we can dig deeper into any questions that you might have. So we have what's called Chapter 10, meaning of our city code. Chapter 10 is our internal discrimination provisions. And so that means it's applicable only to city employees. And so OEOP investigates complaints of discrimination from city employees, you know, of course, on the basis of race, color, national origin, sex, disability, age being 40 and over, sexual orientation, and religion, gender identity, all of those things, which I'm sure you're all very familiar with. So we have information on the intranet, on our webpage, which provides employees easy access to complaint forms that they can fill out, and it comes directly to our office. So that's one of our primary functions, is to address and investigate those complaints. The other has to do with which we call Chapter 17, again, going back to city codes. This is regarding discrimination that public citizens believe are occurring. Now, the problem with this particular issue is the city does not have enforcement authority, and nor do we really have staffing to fully investigate complaints that the public makes. And believe me, we get so many calls from individuals who believe they've been discriminated against, and they work at Walmart, or they work, you know, for a grocery chain, or they work for, you know, a different big, large businesses, as well as smaller ones. We tell them, we don't have the enforcement authority, and you're better off to file with the Arizona Civil Rights Division or the EEOC, who does have enforcement authority. So we provide people primarily with the resources to contact pertaining to whatever their issues are. You know, we certainly try to hear, listen to them, and provide them with information and resources to help them resolve whatever, you know, complaint they have. Now, there is one exception for public citizens, and that has to do with source of income in the housing area. So the mayor and council recently adopted an ordinance that pertain, it's ordinance 11959, which has to do with discrimination against individuals who are trying to secure, you know, a residence in an apartment or, you know, a housing complex based on the fact that they are a Section 8, a Section 8 client. And so that is something that our office would investigate in collaboration with the Southwest Fair Housing Council. Now, with regard to other complaints, and we do get a lot of people calling us about issues regarding their landlords, we do refer those over to Southwest Fair Housing Council to address. I mentioned earlier about the fact that we investigate wrongful conduct complaints. So wrongful conduct complaints are things that a citizen as well as an employee can file against a city official or really any city employee if they believe they've been involved in high-level mismanagement, abuse of authority, fraud, those kinds of high-level violations. And so in collaboration with the city attorney's office, the city manager makes a determination of who should investigate the complaint based on the nature of the complaint. Typically, it is our office that is involved in investigating those complaints. And of course, we have the anti-retaliation provisions. And again, that goes back to employees have the right to file a complaint regarding retaliation. And that would be something that our office would investigate. Now, I'm sure you're most interested in the area that has to do with ADA. And our office is involved in addressing any complaints related to city facilities, programs, and or services. Now, we get a lot of ADA complaints regarding parking lots, other private facilities. We can't address those. But we do, again, provide them with resources. Now, if it's related to a city building or a city parking lot or, you know, accessible routes, things of that nature that are on city property, then yes, we take those complaints and we address those by working directly with the department in which the complaint is related to. So we coordinate with Environmental and General Services and the other departments to look at, are there modifications that need to be made to ensure that we're in full compliance with ADA? So there again, on our internet, on our Office of Equal Opportunity Program page, there is an easy online form that the public can complete on an ADA accessibility complaint. And again, that comes directly to our office, and we are involved in responding to those complaints. We also oversee the mediation program for city employees. So we're involved in a lot of different functions, and there's just two of us. I want to remind you, we are busy. The mediation program tries to assist employees with workplace disputes and resolving any conflict that they have together. So we have trained mediators, and we, again, facilitate those mediation processes. We also do some trainings. We have put together a course online of a number of different training series that we developed several years ago. And they have to do with discrimination, diversity, and inclusion, which also includes an ADA focus, wrongful conduct and retaliation, ethics, code of conduct, harassment, and sexual harassment. So we've addressed all of those issues in a one-hour segment that we require all employees at the beginning of their employment to view. We're also involved in the new employee welcome. So we give a highlight to employees regarding our program services and what they need to do in case they feel they've been discriminated against. So we share that information with them when they start as a new employee. We also train our ADA and LEP liaisons because each department has an ADA liaison. And those are the people that we typically coordinate or collaborate with when a complaint surfaces that pertains to their department. I mentioned the LEP liaison. Again, that's another program that we oversee. That's the limited English proficiency, which is, of course, a federal requirement. And so we also comply with that requirement. As well as public records requests, there are times when we have to redact things and provide that based on public records requests. Every 2 years, we do an EEO-4 report, which is required by the federal government. We just completed that last year, so hopefully not until next year. That's pulling a lot of demographic information. So again, as I told you, there's just the two of us, Will Rivera and myself. I've been with the city now for 9 years. Will is approaching 5 years, and we work, as I said earlier, with specific individuals identified in each of the departments to help us provide information to employees and address any kind of complaints. I also provided to you a Excel spreadsheet I've been tracking based on Cody's request a number of years ago. You can see how many years I've been tracking it. To provide information to you on how many complaints or intakes. Our intakes are basically contacts that we have with, you know, the public as well as employees. So this changes every day. So it's already out of date since when I prepared it on August the 8th. But it indicates that as of August the 8th, we had 3 ADA accessibility complaints regarding our facilities and 3 pertaining to our services. We had internally, meaning our employees, we had 5 contacts regarding disability, 14 from the public that relate to city facilities or city issues, city employment, those kinds of things. And then 50, which we indicate is not applicable, meaning we don't have any jurisdiction or authority over some of those issues. And then with respect to employees actually filing a complaint, we had 4 that identified an issue, some type of disability issue. So those were basically the statistics that I wanted to share with you that I thought you might be interested in. So I'm happy, and Will Rivera is also with us. We are both happy to entertain any questions that you have.
Thank you, Rebecca. I'll open. I know I have, questions, but I do want to let other commissioners have the floor first. If you all have questions, please feel free to raise your virtual hand if that's acceptable. Commissioner Jordan first, and then Commissioner Krieger.
Thank you, Rebecca and Will, for coming along. I do have a question. I know Zach's got some great questions to ask you, and I'm not going to tread on his toes at all. But I do want to know about this the statistics we've got here. Talking about disability intakes for this year to date, the externals in particular, you've listed 14 intakes, but 0 complaints for that same cohort of people So did all of those contacts become no complaints at all? I don't quite understand how that worked.
Right. So you're correct. A complaint would be someone who filed a formal complaint, excuse me, with the city, and we have specific complaint forms, again, online, versus someone calling to say, you know, there's a problem with SunTrans, SunVan delivery, or there's a problem with my water bill and I have a disability and I need help resolving it. So that's what we identify as an intake, meaning a contact that was made with us from the public that relates to city services. A trash can pickup, things of those nature.
And you would not register those as a complaint because they didn't submit the correct form? Am I understanding that correctly?
Right. So like for the ADA accessibility complaints, let's say for an example, and we've had an issue where an individual has a disability, they have an ADA service for their particular trash can, and their trash can wasn't getting picked up properly and returned to the right place. We would put that under an ADA accessibility complaint regarding services. But someone who is calling us regarding a water bill, you know, that we would try to refer them over and get in contact with the water department to assist them. But that would be basically an intake and not an accessibility complaint.
So then could you please explain the difference between an ADA accessibility complaint and a disability complaint?
Yes. So a disability complaint would be pertaining to employment. So they are claiming that they are being adversely impacted in employment due to a disability. An accessibility complaint would be about, you know, the facility, the door is not, there's no automatic door opener, or there's no accessible route.
Okay, so just to clarify, I'll close off. That section there that says disability complaints, internal and external, that is purely about employment, even though it doesn't say so.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, now I'm clear. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Ray. Commissioner Krager, you're the last commissioner I saw with a hand up.
Okay. Thank you. Rebecca and Will, I wonder if you could maybe give us some insight into the ADA liaisons. I'm curious about their level of knowledge, their skill level, maybe their attitudes, their commitment to disability access. Can you enlighten us a little bit about those individuals, maybe how they're picked, what their term is, what they do?
Sure, I'll start off. Oh, I'm sorry. Sure.
That's a lot, but if you could
tell us. Sure, we'll try to answer your question. So I'll start off and we'll add to whatever I share. First of all, they are appointed by their department director. Every year, we send out a notice to the directors that they need to identify who in their department will be the ADA and LEP coordinators. And we share, of course, what those roles and responsibilities are. And the directors identify individuals that they feel are best suited, most appropriate, and interested in serving in that capacity. Once we receive those individuals, and we do this every July, in fact, we just finalized for this coming fiscal year that list of ADA liaisons, we then provide them with training. And we have a whole resource center available for them where we have a lot of information that we've collected over the years to provide to them. In addition, Will puts together a quarterly newsletter that highlights current information. And we distribute that to the ADA coordinators. We have refresher set training sessions for those individuals, as well as, of course, the new ones. We do an in-depth training with them. So these are individuals that truly have an interest in ADA and, you know, a willingness to serve in this role and responsibility. There's no extra compensation for them to do that. It is more of an appointment. And really, you know, we emphasize it's really an honor for them to be selected by their department directors to be in that role. So, Will, would you like to augment that?
Yeah, and I'm hoping we have enough time. I was prepared to give everyone sort of a synopsis of the activities that the ADA coordinator does, if that's okay. I'm going to go ahead and share something on my – let's see here if I can find this. Okay, I am not finding – I'm trying to share the screen. That's a whiteboard. This is different. I'm on Office 365. I normally use the standalone program, so I apologize that I don't see the file. Let's see here, show more.
Well, Will, you're talking about your role as the ADA coordinator for the city ADA liaisons, right?
Right. But I wanted to go. Let me go through this. I'm sorry I can't find the file here to share with you folks, so I'm just going to go down a list of 9 items that I'm responsible for. I will include talking about the ADA liaisons. There is no identified specific criteria that we've developed to determine who is or is not qualified as an ADA liaison. That is up to the department to decide who that individual will be. Okay, so hopefully that kind of answers that particular question. But all of the ones that I work with are extremely enthusiastic about about participating in that role, and we get wonderful cooperation from all the departments whenever we address complaints that are coming from the public. So that's what occurs. But I did want to mention that, you know, as part of my duties, the first thing that I do in my role is that we have a new employee welcome that occurs generally on a monthly basis. And in that role, they provide 20 minutes for our department to explain to them what we do, okay, and how we are a resource to the employees. During that presentation, I'm able to discuss the ADA program with each and all of the employees. And I explain to them that just because they're sitting before us and they don't have a disability doesn't mean that at some future point in their careers, they might have a disability. And they might need reasonable accommodation through the city, and that we are the resource that helps them with that, along with our HR department. And so we make it very clear that we are supportive of everyone with or without a disability, certainly, but that might be something where they might have to address it with us. So they're immediately aware of the ADA program for the city. And we also run a video about diversity and inclusion, and within that, it's all of the protected classes are represented in that video. Rebecca was mentioning the OEOP training video series that we provide. Here again, and I think I'm hoping that all of you have been able to read the administrative directives that apply to reasonable accommodation and the Americans Disability Act within the city, 2.05-2 and 2.05-10, but they explain exactly how we protect folks who have disabilities. That is then reinforced in the video training that's provided to all employees. It is mandatory, and in fact, what we do is we monitor employee attendance to make sure that they are viewing those videos and that they understand about those protections and about the administrative directives that exist within the city. And we report those numbers back to the HR departments, and they have to track down the folks who have not taken that video training in order for them to have that knowledge. It is every employee's responsibility to read and understand the administrative directives, but this certainly reinforces that. So now to the training of the liaisons. Rebecca just reached out to all of the directors. We make sure that we understand who is responsible within each department to have an ADA liaison. And then I am right now in the middle of determining when would be a good time to provide the training necessary for those liaisons. The training is compliance training. I will tell you that right out the front. It's about federal and state regulations as well as the city administrative directives that I just referenced, as well as all of the ordinances that might apply. However, I know Commissioner Kroger had requested that we add some additional training to help these employees understand the nature and the sensitivity and the understanding that they require to be able to work with people with disabilities. And that is also a component of that training, so that they're aware those resources are put into a file that we have in a Microsoft Teams channel that is accessible to each and every ADA liaison so that they can access that, and it helps them understand how to work with people with disabilities. And so that training certainly does exist. We also do a quarterly newsletter, as Rebecca mentioned. Basically, what we try to search out is topics of high interest, understanding how to deal with folks with disabilities, legal issues that come up and how they were treated, with the EEOC or the Department of Justice, so that they understand what types of things are being adjudicated and that they need to be aware of as ADA liaisons. Okay, so those are the things. And then topical things, you know, the last newsletter was in June, and we wanted to make sure people understood about how not only to take care of their pets in the summer months, but also their service animals and emotional support animals. And so we give them tips like that and try to raise their level of awareness on how to work with people with disabilities, and as well as folks who might ask questions about these things. We do present at the Ignite Supervisor Training. That was an annual program. It's to be determined if that program is going to continue or be revamped. But regardless, we have an hour-long training. And, of course, for the supervisory-level employees within the city, we also provide additional ADA training and awareness so that they know, as supervisors, what their responsibilities are to the ADA. I attend workshops. There's the State ADA Coordinators monthly meeting that occurs. As my schedule permits, I'm able to gather with ADA coordinators throughout the state. It is managed by an individual up in Phoenix, and we get together. And then, again, topics of interest and things that we should be aware of as ADA coordinators in municipalities and elsewhere are shared. And it's a terrific group of people, and they themselves are a resource to our office whenever we need to get questions answered about the ADA. Of course, we attend this meeting on a monthly basis. And then any other training that's available to me in the ADA National Network, I take advantage of. When I first started, Rebecca made it very clear to me that I should be very versed in ADA. And so I took dozens of training classes through the ADA network. And so I have touched on probably every single facet of the ADA that there is. I won't go through that we respond to complaints because Rebecca already covered that. And you know that for Title III, we have to go and go to ACRD for that. And so the investigations that we do conduct primarily are with employees and ADA issues that occur. Okay. And then any constituents, that have issues with public accommodation, we of course have to then refer that, to the ACRD. I am the website editor. So if you have recommendations for our website, that you feel should be included, that's not included, by all means, contact me directly. I'm happy to make, any additions. We try to put resources in there for the public, for them to seek out information like service animals, which is something that comes up fairly frequently. But if there's something there that you think either shouldn't be there or that I should add, by all means, tell me, and then I will do that for you, for us. And then, of course, all the other assigned duties to me that Rebecca had mentioned, we do the wrongful conduct investigations, discrimination investigations. That has been something that has gone, it hasn't stopped, unfortunately. It's a continual revolving door of complaints that come in. LEP training, I'm involved in that. I do facilitate the mediation program, and so trying to organize the schedules typically of two mediators and then two individuals who require conflict resolution, hurting cats sometimes, but we get them together and usually and hopefully we get a positive outcome. And then we have a long list of ADA resources that we try to help individuals with. Depending on their issue, depending on what the concern is, we try to work with the nonprofit partners that are out there. The folks that you recognize, like the Job Accommodation Network, Direct. We even have you listed as your organization listed as a reference as well for Disability Rights Arizona. Anything that we can do to steer folks in the proper direction so that they can receive the attention and assistance that they need, we're there to do that. And I should mention also in our newsletter, every single month we list your meeting, the time, the date, where they can access the information so that they can participate in this meeting or tell other individuals within the city that they have an option to participate. So I just wanted to run through that quickly. I could have provided a few more details, but that's sort of in a nutshell. I'm sorry if I repeated some of what Rebecca already said, but I wanted to kind of give you an idea of what I do in my position as ADA coordinator, really on a daily basis. It's happening. So with that, then, if there are additional questions, I'll turn it over to the group. Thank you.
Commissioner Krager, did you have follow-up questions? And then I see Commissioner Bogan with her hand up, and Commissioner Derbyshire with his hand up. But Commissioner Krager, if you have additional questions.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that you all are focused on compliance. So I do understand that. But I guess I wonder, what is the scope of a liaison's responsibilities and input or just involvement in a discrimination complaint? Because it strikes me that they may not be, even after training, right, knowledgeable about it. So I guess I wonder, really, they're like volunteers. What's their level of responsibility and input into a discrimination complaint?
Okay, well, I can answer that. So they report directly to the director of the department. The director assigns the duty. So it's a conduit. It's a conduit. So let's say there is a complaint. Let's say it's a facility that requires modification of a ramp in order to have access into that facility, that city facility. Okay. And so When the complaint comes in, we work with that department liaison to explain what the problem is. That department liaison has the authority or the delegated authority of the director to make sure that whatever resources are necessary in order for that ramp to be repaired or in order to be constructed, we work with them. And so they have us as a resource, we have them as a resource, and together we resolve that issue. There was a recent complaint that was sent to us about accessibility to the Edith Ball Center. And that complaint now is not only being addressed by the Environmental and Services Group, but also the Parks and Recreation. And I've had direct discussions with the director over there as well from Parks and Rec. And so there are two departments now involved. It could involve more folks, but there are also two entities involved. It's the Reed Park Zoo, which is managed by a private enterprise, the Zoological Society, and then the city. So now we have two agencies plus two departments and us all working together to try to figure out, you know, what the issue is and how that issue gets resolved. Sometimes it's done quickly. Other times it involves getting several folks together to make sure that it's done. The liaison is that conduit for us to get the attention of the director immediately so that there is no hesitancy in making sure that we address the ADA accessibility issue.
So you would need a liaison in the department who reports to the director to get the director to respond? So this liaison reports to the director, correct? But you need that person to help the director be responsive?
Commissioner Krieger, it's not. No, we could go directly to the director. Certainly that we can do. The thing is that we've got, I think it's something like 16 or 17 different departments. We've got 5,000 employees, and there's two of us, me and Rebecca. So if we can file the complaint with the ADA liaison, let them know what it is, because we're going to monitor that. They then can internally pull whatever levers they need to pull in order to make sure that that is being addressed within that specific department. The city has facilities all, you know how big the city is. And so we can't expect the director to do that, but we certainly can expect the liaison to then work with internal departments and divisions within that area in order to determine who is ultimately the responsible person that's going to make sure that problem is addressed. And so it's really just a matter of collaborating and working with other individuals to make sure that the focus is where it needs to be. That's what the liaison provides for us. And we hold the ADA liaison accountable. Ultimately, if the ADA liaison is not doing their job, then we will go directly to the director and say, this is not working. So either you need to take care of it or you need to assign a different liaison who understands what is necessary here to make sure that the ADA is in compliance. So that's kind of how it works.
Let me interject that, excuse me, Will. We do loop in the director so that they're fully aware when we receive a complaint. But they're very busy, and so they usually delegate things to staff to get those things resolved. So we also want to make sure that the liaison is involved. And, you know, we try to get things resolved quickly so that we can get back to the individual who is having a difficult time or who has submitted a concern or a complaint so that we can address it quickly.
So in the interest of, time and giving everyone, like all commissioners having a chance to interact with you all, I'd like to ensure that Commissioner Bogan and Commissioner Derbyshire have a chance to ask their question. So, Commissioner Bogan, if you have a question or a comment, please feel free to voice it.
Thank you. My question is, the list of ADA liaisons, can that be provided to Cody? And also, can they be added on to the meeting invites every month for Cody?
we're happy to do that. We will provide that to the clerk. And if they are also listed on our website. So, again, we're just now updating it with the new liaisons that have been identified. But we will definitely provide that information to Stephanie so she can make sure that you get that.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Commissioner Derbyshire, did you have a question as well?
Yes, I do. So I have two parts of question. The first is actually you triggered the gentleman before triggered the concept of the website. So if we have issues with a website that's like SunTran or, you know, SunVan or any other city website, that's considered part of facilities for the city and that we could file a complaint through this department. Would that be true? And then I have a second part to the question.
So SunVan and SunTran, they are operated separate from the city. So they are under the RTC. And I know that y'all have had individuals from SunVan and SunTran presenting to Cody. So they have their own internal complaint process. We get those complaints and we forward them on. We try to help connect the individual with the appropriate people over there to get their issues resolved.
Okay, good. My second follow-up to that is, what about the general streets in the city, like, you know, the sidewalk streets, stuff like that, that we see as disabled people? Do we pay their attention?
Right. And we have received a number of complaints regarding sidewalks. And let me just make sure everyone understands that sidewalks are considered to be part of the responsibility of the business or property owner. And so the city is not able to resolve or repair sidewalks that are broken or non-existent or you know, there are issues with those sidewalks. The only thing that we are able to do is contact the code enforcement, and code enforcement will contact transportation, and they will then take a look at the issue and address it with the appropriate owner of the property.
Okay, thanks for those clarifications.
Thanks for those questions. Commissioner Krieger, if you have a follow-up, and then I have a few different questions.
Okay, I just have a quick one, Rebecca, and it's just that as you went through your report, I guess I kept hearing, you know, we're not able to enforce that. I heard that quite a few times, I thought. So I'm really just wondering if you could kind of articulate to us exactly what you all can enforce.
We can enforce anything that that involves city employee issues of discrimination, wrongful conduct. We can enforce accessibility issues related to city facilities, services, and programs.
Okay.
Individuals that are complaining about discrimination or disability accessibility issues with private companies, we do not have jurisdiction over.
But if the public complains about a Tucson facility, You can respond to that. You can enforce.
A Tucson, City of Tucson government facility. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Commissioner Krieger. So I guess I have a couple questions. One that should be fairly quick. If a sidewalk is impacted by some element of city property, say a parking meter or a crosswalk, like a crosswalk signal that is placed in an area that might block off part of that sidewalk, making it inaccessible. The city through you could address that because it would be city property, correct?
Right. So then we would get in touch with the Department of Transportation and Mobility to investigate and address and resolve that issue.
Okay. So I guess the other question is, you know, I understand that, you know, yourself and Will are only like two people handling a number of different separate and overlapping fields, but with ADA liaisons, do they have like an affirmative responsibility to ensure that the plans, you know, if the Department of Transportation and Mobility sets out new guidelines or wants to make changes to how they document things on their website or provide documents to the public, do they have an affirmative responsibility to make those, ensure those, you know, those things are accessible under the ADA? For public and disabled people, because if disabled people are forced to always make a complaint when things are inaccessible, but they can't actually see what is inaccessible or access what is inaccessible, it kind of, that makes it challenging, right?
Sure. And of course, we depend on a lot of professionals within each of the departments that have that responsibility and have that training and have that background. And then the community needs to let us know if something's not working. So yes, the ADA liaison certainly would be consulted and would, be involved in, I'm hoping the department director would be inclusive of their involvement in any kind of changes. But, you know, there are a number of professional people within the city that have the training and the background in the ADA standards to ensure that the city is in compliance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Given that probably training time is limited and, you know, there's a lot to cover, do those resources that Will mentioned cover, you know, making documents, websites, electronic resources, other things accessible for disabled users?
Yes, and I know our IT department is working now, and I know Will has been working with individuals as well within the IT department about the new website. So, Will, I don't know if you want to share any information related to your activities there.
Yes, we're talking about WCAG and making that accessible. Sure. I was told by IT that they are compliant with WCAG. Now, does that mean that all of the hundreds of web pages and documents that are on the website are accessible? I can't verify that. All I can say is that if it is identified by someone that they don't have access, certainly contact us. And I'll work with IT to make sure that that error is corrected. We don't have certainly that IT expertise, but I feel confident that IT certainly is doing their best to be compliant with WCAG. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you for that. Commissioner Derbyshire, did you have your hand up? Okay. I have just one. Oh, Commissioner Espadas, if you have your hand up, please ask your question.
So what I keep hearing from the different questions is just I guess I understand ADA compliance because that's just the law, and meeting compliance is the standard. But I think what's been brought up, and we've brought this up in a couple of meetings, and I know with the new housing facility going up, they actually invited us down to check because there's a big difference between what ADA compliance provides for and even compliance with the compliance. So like pitch grades on wheelchair ramps are generally not in compliance with what the ADA even requires. And so when we do think of compliance as people with disabilities, it creates obstacles. And even as Zach mentioned, like having a telephone pole placed in the middle of a sidewalk that now blocks, like I can't go around it or else I fall off the curb. What is being done, one, to be proactive about that? Because removing a telephone pole and all that almost like is not fiscally, I don't see that happening. And engineering wise, which I know nothing about, but also what inputs I'm hearing that the liaisons are being trained. What input from the disability community to actually enhance that training is being used to reflect actual experience? Because one of the things and what actually brought me to this commission was I had no idea to the visually impaired experience. And I used to complain about those little yellow dots at intersections, hated those things because as a wheelchair user, it cuts my momentum. But then someone explained to me, well, if I don't have those, I walk into the street and get hit. And so I think not having actual experience with the disability, and there's tons of disabilities I still don't have experience with knowing that viewpoint. Like what viewpoints are being brought in to enhance the training and make these liaisons more effective?
Again, I want to just share with you that we are focused on the regulations. We're focused on the ADA law. We're focused on our administrative directives in the city. And I think, we'll reference some of those. I think they're also referenced in the document that I provided to you. So, there is somewhat of a limited scope. When we put together our training, which is mandatory for all employees, we did get input from Direct, and we took their suggestions and incorporated a number of additional information in that training. So, being proactive. We, again, as Will and I both shared with you, we try to put out a newsletter. We try to keep that awareness up among the liaisons. We try to provide them with resources. We are there for them as a resource. And I'm not sure that we have the capacity in our office to do more than what we're doing. We would love to add more resources to our office because much of our time, energy, and effort is dealing with discrimination complaint investigations and wrongful conduct complaint investigations. So would we like to do more? Absolutely. We've requested more resources, I know the Office of Equity has also been trying to fill in some of those gaps, and I know that you've had a presentation from Larice Walker, and she shared with you some of the lunch and learns, and in fact, I think Mr. Coble was a presenter at one of those. So we try to do things to engage our employees, and we try to continue to provide information and resources to the liaisons. Will, I think you wanted to add to that.
Yeah, let me, and I don't know if this is going to answer your question directly, Commissioner, but let's not forget that within the various departments, there are subject matter experts, engineers and architects, project mm-hmm. managers who understand the 2010 guidelines, ADA guidelines quite well. In fact, sometimes they exceed those guidelines. So imagine, for example, the example I gave earlier about the accessibility over to the Edith Ball Aquatic Center there. That's involving an individual from facilities management who fully is certified in the ADA 2010 guidelines. And so same thing with the Department of Transportation and Mobility. Those folks have that training and have the certifications necessary in order to determine what the correct specifications are. And so we work not only with the liaison who then finds that individual within the department, says, hey, here's the problem. How do we solve it? And then that person has to then use their training and certifications to be able to then correctly either repair or construct what is necessary for there to be proper accessibility. So there are people that within the city, many people within the departments who understand those requirements.
I would say a lot of times, though, it's not even the major engineering feats. It's as simple as placing a trash can somewhere. And I get it. Not you or most people get to get up and walk into the bathroom and not have an issue with that. Someone placing a trash can in a particular space traps me inside the space. And I get it. Like, you're not thinking about that. So again, kind of like having that experience from crowdsourcing information to help you understand that experience, that something as simple as a trash can is a humiliating experience for someone to be trapped inside a bathroom stall. So it's humiliating and demeaning to have to scream out, hey, help me, because a trash can was placed somewhere. And so those little items such as that, can have a great effect, and as simple as don't place a trash can in front of the door. So it's not a huge resource cost, but just something to be added to training, because again, someone might not think about it. I probably wouldn't think about it myself. There's lots of things I don't consider, especially with people with invisible disabilities. I'm not thinking about it. But I also agree, and I, maybe this is kind of with, if there's two of you, it's disappointing that there's, I'm trying not to use the word only. I feel
no, wow, we agree.
There's just two of us. Because of all the rhetoric on regarding equity and all that we hear, but it's a 2 to 5,000 ratio in city employment, and that's very disappointing to hear.
I'm with you, Commissioner Espadas. In the interest of time, and seeing that Commissioner Jordan has his hand up, like if Ray, if you have like one other question or comment, and then we can let Rebecca and Will go, just because we have other agenda items, and I hope I would like to invite you back sooner rather than later, because it's been about a year or more since you've been on, Cody. So Commissioner Jordan.
Thank you very much, Zach. Derek, I was just nodding my head up and down with every single word that you said. What's missing here, I think, is the human element. We've been talking about compliance. Compliance, compliance. It's a set of rules. It's writing. It's black and white. But it doesn't necessarily reflect the personal experiences. And that seems to be part of what's missing within the city departments, the liaisons I don't know how much experience, that personal experience. I mean, I'm not talking about reading documents here. I'm talking about personal experience of disability, either themselves, a relative, family member, a friend, something like that. Let me transpose that onto the issue that that Mr. Rivera has raised a couple of times about that complaint with the Aquatic Recreation Center at Reed Park. It seems to me that the issue should not exist, because whoever was designing that project understands the ADA, but they don't probably understands the ADA, but don't understand what the ADA means, what it represents, what it's for, what its purpose is. That complaint is about removing an existing accessible path of travel and not replacing it. That is what that means, is that at the core of the planning, accessibility was not a part of that. They were thinking about measurements and animals and fences and all of the engineering stuff, and forgot about the humans. The humans that don't drive motor vehicles, as an example. So that's what I'm trying to say. That, and we've seen it in SunTram, we've seen it in other city departments as well. That we come along later and go, well, why did you do that wrong? Why did you leave out accessibility? Why was accessibility an afterthought? Why did somebody need to make a complaint about a brand new project? And I can give you a couple other examples. Brand new projects that are happening right now where accessibility was not thought of at that primary stage. Somebody had to make a complaint.
Thank you for that, Commissioner Jordan. Appreciate it.
Commissioner Coble, let me just make two comments. One is that the human element issue is very valid, and is something that both Will and I are involved in. We try to add that with the newsletter that we put out to the liaisons on a quarterly basis. We try that. That really is the focus of that particular of those newsletters. And I think we've shared with the committee, the commission, some of our newsletters in the past. The second thing is some of our liaisons also have disabilities, and so they also bring those issues to the forefront when we meet with them and provide them training and have discussions with them. With respect to the issue of the construction that's going on at the zoo, there was a lot of community input. We were told, it was confirmed that the contractors that were involved in planning everything did take ADA compliance into account, and we had very little, say or input in all of that. It went to mayor and council for approval after a lot of community input and revision. And we know whenever there's construction, there are barriers for everyone. And we honestly have no, way of changing that. I know, as Will said earlier, we've had people go out to review the accessible route. We are actually going to be responding to you about that. And we're sorry that you know, it impacts a lot of people that are trying to get to different, to that therapeutic pool. It impacts a lot of people.
Thank you. Thank you so much for, thank you everyone for your input, your good questions. Thank you, Rebecca and Will for joining us. Really appreciate this dialogue. And we, you know, we'll have you back soon. I'm certain. So with that, I do want to get to our other two agenda items of substance, just to check in. So agenda item number 5, we'll try to make these a little bit shorter, just for time's sake as we're coming up on 4:41. Check in with commissioners about possible meetings that they may have had with their appointing office. As we agreed last meeting, you know, we would try to share CODI priorities with our appointing offices or set meetings as such. I know Commissioner Jordan was successful at doing that from prior to last month's meeting. You know, I will say that I have an upcoming meeting in September with my appointing office in Ward 4. Coordinating schedules was, challenging for both me and I'm sure at the city council office. But does, any commissioner have, updates on whether they were successful at setting the meeting or had the meeting that would like to share?
This is Commissioner Krieger, and I'm at least in the process of communicating with the city manager's office to get an appointment.
Thank you, Commissioner Krieger. That's half the battle. It's just
likewise for accountability. I'm going to focus on getting it done rather than making it a perfect report that I'm sending in. So I will.
Yeah, and feel free to, you know, if you have space to write down a report, great. If you just want to do a, you know, report back to the commissioner on a meeting, that's fine too. Anyone else? If not, no worries.
I reached out, but I haven't made an appointment yet, so.
Okay. If people need assistance or, you know, I don't know if I carry too much weight as chair, but, if they need the assistance of the chair to help with, you know, setting of those meetings or, puzzle out who you should contact, that type of thing, please let me know. I'm happy to be of assistance. So good. That may just live on as an agenda item for the next couple of meetings as we're all hopefully able to, you know, have them. Yes, Commissioner Krieger?
I had one question about these meetings. Well, I don't know, maybe more, but at least an initial question is, I'm just kind of wondering if we are all on the same page relative to what we're going to talk with our representing department with, and I guess, you know, maybe how we're going to represent those issues. I don't know if that makes any sense. I certainly know that we've got the annual report and that we talk monthly here, but you know, maybe I'm feeling a little, like when I think about SunTran and SunVan, I don't feel very, I don't use it, and so I don't feel as confident in how I might represent those issues. And I just wondered if others were, having questions about what and how we would be representing our issues. I don't know. Does that make any sense, or am I?
Commissioner Krieger, I think that makes sense. I think we all have different interests and different, strengths or things we're passionate about as commissioners. Several of the things that we have talked about and, done reports on, were included in the CODI priorities document that we kind of agreed to last meeting. I don't think we as commissioners need to be responsible for communicating about all of those priorities specifically with our appointing office, because, like you said, you don't use SunTran or SunBan, so that might not be your passion or, what you feel best at communicating about. But, one thing that I think we've touched on or that you've touched on is like city employment practices for people with disabilities or, access of public accommodations, given your past experience, that might be something that you could communicate on. So you could just pick one or two things and then talk to them about that. I'm also happy to liaise with you off the meeting if that would be of assistance too. So, Commissioner Jordan, did you have a comment?
Oh, thank you, Zach. I do have a comment. Sue, I think Zach's got some really good ideas there. When I met with my council member and his chief of staff, I had a couple of items that I specifically wanted to talk about. They were obviously accessibility items that were of interest to me, and they were also ward-specific. They didn't need to be, but they were just things that were setting my hair on fire. So those were the things I wanted to talk about. But mostly it was a get-to-know-you thing. It was like, hello, my name's Ray, and I'm obviously not from around here, but I'm getting to know Tucson, and I got to know the council member a little bit, and we were in, we just talked about a bunch of stuff. It was, a little bit politics, obviously, because they're political people, and a little bit about, the ward itself and the people and, our histories and this and that, and just developing a rapport. And then, of course, the couple of issues. And then he brought up a couple of other issues that he was aware of. And if I had an opinion on that, I would say so. And if I didn't have an opinion, on things like housing, I don't know very much about that kind of stuff. So it was like, you probably should talk to somebody else about that. So that was kind of it. It was really nice. And I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah. Thank you. I think that's some good advice and noticing too, Commissioner Jordan. I mean, this gives us a chance to understand what our appointing offices are also like super interested in, so we can be aware of as commissioners, how to direct, maybe direct our focus to, what they want to hear about. We can be honest. We don't need to sugarcoat things, but the disability community is wide and varied, as we know. So, in the interest of time, I also want to make sure that we get through our other, our couple other agenda items. I just want to kind of give a brief, overview of the next couple of meetings that will probably come up, and ask if there are volunteers, if people would want to write a possible memorandum regarding, the issues Will and Rebecca identified, to mayor and council, given that, it seems like the ADA coordinator and that type of thing needs resources. They're asking for that. So, please let me know now, or, you know, email me and Stephanie, and we can talk about that. The other couple things I want to identify is that I'm hopeful we will have an assistant city manager coming on in the next couple of meetings to talk about Chapter 25, which has to do with sidewalks. And as Rebecca mentioned, private property owners are responsible for ensuring the viability of those sidewalks if they're abutting their property. So there may be, I don't know if changes, but clarifications that assistant city manager can give of possible, shifts or, exceptions. So I'm hopeful that that assistant city manager will be able to join us in the next couple of meetings and talk about that. So we may want to write a memorandum after they come on as well. But I just want to give a heads up. And then the Pima County Recorder's Office has reached out to me, and the recorder or her outreach team wants to come on hopefully in the next couple of months and talk about disability and voting and their efforts. Even though they're not a city office, we're a commission on disability issues, disabled voters, that type of thing in general. So, I'm hopeful that we can welcome them on. Does anyone, given that we are getting close to time, does anyone have any announcements that they want to announce that have to deal with the disability community? Yes, that was bad verbiage. A commissioner spot us, but.
Oh, yes, I have one here.
Waiting for my
go ahead, Commissioner Bogan.
Yes, there's a couple conventions coming up to do with the disability community, two in the Phoenix area, one here in Tucson. First is the Abilities Convention. It's going to be in Scottsdale. And it's escaping my mind right now, the venue's name, but it's a horse track, Westworld. Sorry, that's the name.
Okay.
And that's in September. November 1st is V-Rate, which is the blindness community, including the deafblind community. It's the Vision Rehabilitation Assistive Technology Expo. And, of course, our own Disability Pride Day in December. Sorry, I don't have exact dates except for V-Rate, but keep that. You can all look it up and get them on your calendars.
Thank you for those announcements, Commissioner Bogan. I really appreciate that. Commissioner Jordan or Ray, do you have an announcement?
Just a real quick one. I went to the active transport, transit kind of workshop or public meeting thing last week. I should say attempted to go to it, but the name of the venue and the address were a mismatch, and unfortunately I only took with me in my mind the name of the venue, which was Maynard's downtown. Unfortunately, when I got back home and I looked up the address, because there was nobody there when I went there, it was They'd actually provided the address for Hotel Congress, which it didn't even occur to me to go across the street to see whether there was people there. So there is another opportunity, though, coming up. I think it's next month at a different location. So I think representing the disability community at something like that might be kind of important.
Yeah, thank you for doing that and trying to go, Commissioner Jordan. I know that's, it can be taxing to try to go to and coordinate our own transportation to. And, hopefully we're able to go to the future meeting that they have. Sorry, my eyes are watering just slightly. So I do have one, an announcement related to Disability Pride Day, which Commissioner Bogan alluded to. We are opening up slots for performance, disabled performers at the Disability Pride Day, which is at Udall Park again on December 7th. It'll run from about 11 to 4 or 5 with performers kind of in the middle of that, give or take. For those of you who have been involved in the past or who have performed, I will be reaching out to you directly to see if you, want to do this year. But for those who haven't, I can definitely send you the link to kind of the sign up. In addition, there is an art show component to Disability Pride Day this year. I know at least one commissioner has artistic talents. There is a separate sign up for that because they're separate things. So I may be reaching out with that link as well if you are all interested. So just going to say that. Any other announcements? Okay, seeing none, I am going to call adjournment to this meeting. Thank you so much, everyone. Really appreciate your time and energy on these meetings. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Bye.
Bye.